Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And as we continue on our journey with our newest series on living freely and what that means from a perspective of physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, what does it mean to live freely? And today we have finally been able to coordinate our schedules with the legendary Bruce Lipton. And we are so happy to have Bruce on the show with us today. And if you're not familiar, you've probably been living under a rock, but otherwise, if not, I'll just introduce Bruce Lipton is an internationally recognized leader in bridging science and spirit, stem cell biologist, best-selling author of The Biology of Belief, and recipient of the 2009 GOE Peace Award. He's been a guest speaker on hundreds of TV shows, radio shows, as well as keynote presenter for national and international conferences. We just recently watched your latest one on Gaia, which was brilliant, and highly recommend people to check that out. And Bruce, welcome to the show and being a part of this amazing series.
I am so happy to be here with you, and I so appreciate the invitation because your audience is really a very outstanding audience because they're cultural creatives. These are the people that are saying there's another way to live on this planet besides the way we're doing it right now. So I want to thank you for this opportunity to talk to them.
I very much appreciate it. You know, we just watched your series that, or just watched the episode that you did with Gaia, and you did this really brilliant job of sort of painting out this timeline of just where we've been, where we currently are, and all the in-betweens that we've gone as far as moving, you know, more into the realm of prioritizing spirit all the way down to prioritizing materialism. And I think it was a really beautiful
presentation
just to give people an idea of why we move up and down. And I love the way that you brought it up that, you know, we have to ask these big questions to ourselves, and then the answers depict where civilization is going to go. I'm wondering if maybe you can give us, maybe we'll start, because I've got some questions that come from that, but just for people that haven't seen the Gaia episode, where are we currently in this sort of realm of ups and downs that we've moved from sort of spirit to materialism? Where are we now as far as that process goes?
Well, let people understand this, is that there have been questions asked for 10,000 years. They're called the perennial questions. Same questions, 10,000 years. The questions are, how did we get here? Why are we here? And then how do we make the best of it? The significance of those questions is that the answers provide the culture that follows those answers. In other words, if you believe like the church, then the church says, oh, you're not spirit, but God is spirit and God's somewhere else. And if you're really a good person, you can go visit God up there in heaven or something. And that separated us from spirituality. And then I can say this, that there over the centuries, there's different versions of power. Who holds power? In the very early stages, power was held in the biggest badass guy with the biggest club. You didn't argue with that person. They held the power, okay? And then at some point, power shifted because it turned out that if someone controlled some vital resources and people wanted access to those resources, they would have to pay for those resources. And with the proceeds of all that money, that person who ran the resources actually paid the guy with the club to support him. So the guy with the club became the military at some point. Then the resource guy was like the king. And then at some point, knowledge became power. And all of a sudden, I said, well, then what happened? I said, well, interesting story. The Church of Rome acknowledged that they had absolute power. I go, what do you mean? I say, because they got their knowledge directly from God, and knowledge is power. And that if you want to understand God, then you had to talk to them. And they wielded this power, which then controlled the king, because who do you think kissed the feet of the Pope? The king kissed the feet. So let's put the sequence. The brawny guy becomes the military, the king becomes the resources, and the church becomes the knowledge. And the relevance about that is when the knowledge changes, the civilization changes. And what happened to the church's period, which was called Judeo-Christian monotheism, when the church ran essentially civilization, Charlie Darwin threw a monkey wrench in their game because he made note of the fact that we came through evolution and not through Genesis. And the people started to let go of the Genesis story and gravitate to the science story. So we behind, we're in the world of what is called scientific materialism, meaning simply this: where do you get your truth from? In the old days, you go to the church and there was a guy in the black coat and you get your truth from him. In today's world, you go to the science building, the guy in the white coat gives you the truth about today. And so I say, well, then civilization changed, because instead of acknowledging that there was a God and everything up there in the heaven, science just said, hey, this is your life. This is it on the planet. You are a human person. You have all these wonderful sensory apparatus in your body. You live, then you die, and then you go back into chemicals and particles again. And so spirit dropped out ever since Charles Darwin. So people don't go to the church for their knowledge. They go to science. And science is based on materialism, no spirituality. So basically, matter is matter and spirit is irrelevant. And we've been living in a world like that. And it's unfortunate because in today's world, the answers of how we got here, the perennial questions, number one, how did we get here? Random genetic mutations. I go, okay, why are we here? Well, the point random means they were accidental genetic mutations. So how come we're here? I go, well, it was an accident, in a sense, accident of genetics. So there was no purpose. It was like playing dice. You shook them, and you win or you lose. And then why are we here? Well, that led to an understanding that we're here in a competition, that we're here in the struggle for survival with a competition for fitness. So survival of the fittest, which then turns our world game into a culture based on the answers that say, well, what are we doing here? And the answer is get as much as you can while you can. And there's no morality. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, who can be the fittest? Oh, I got Albert Einstein. Brilliant, right? And I got some jerk with an Uzi. And I say, who's the fittest? I say, well, the Uzi certainly is going to overpower Albert Einstein. All of a sudden, the jerk becomes the winner. And I go, there's no morality in this world. And the leadership of this world is in belief of this scientific theory. Now, unfortunately, part of the scientific theory is the population is getting too big. And that the idea of the government, wherever they are, is to keep order and peace. And that is, in one way, is too many people are here. Oh, well, then what? Well, according to the principle, there's famine, and there's disease, and there's war as ways of eliminating the population. So we're fighting in a world where we're seeing the population just hit over 8 billion. Everybody's getting crazy. Oh, my God, there's not enough for 8 billion people. Who's going to win? More fighting. And we're seeing the world devolve into a barbarian situation of Darwinian theory, which is, hey, as long no matter how you win, it doesn't make any difference as long as you win. And we're facing a world today. I say, so what's the net result of a 100-some years of Darwinian theory? And I say, the competition has led to 1% of the population owning the wealth, and 99% they don't see it themselves at it, but they're slaves. I go, why? Their jobs are to support the 1%. And the point about it is they're struggling. 99% of the people are struggling. Why? Because the 1% took the energy out of the world, the money, and they're holding on to it. I go, well, this is completely devastating to the world, because the idea of Darwinian theory is 100% wrong. Oh, no shit. Oh, no. Sorry. Darwin is wrong. I go, why? Evolution is not based on competition. Evolution is based on cooperation. I go, oh, man, we've been going the wrong way for 100 years. I go, yeah. And the result of that wrong way is we are on the edge of an evolutionary upheaval right now. We are not sustainable. I go, what do you mean? I say, well, simple math. To support the world today, the way the culture is, just say, if we want everything to stay the way today is, it takes 1.6 planet Earths to provide the resources. Well, simple math. There is no extra 0.6 planet Earth to get those resources from. We've been actually destroying the planet, removing the resources and destroying the environment to satisfy our cultural needs. I go, so what's the point? He said, it's not sustainable. I go, so what does that mean? He says, well, you can't keep doing this anymore. And what is most important is the answers to the questions have changed. Well, every time the answers to the question change, civilization follows with a new version. I say, so we're leaving behind the Darwinian idea of accidental mutations and survival of the fittest. I say, why? What? The answers today are different. I said, what do you mean? I said, how do we get here? It wasn't accidental mutations. They were called adaptive mutations. I go, what does that mean? That each organism is adapted to the environment that they live in. So in other words, it's not chance that there are no orchids in Antarctica. There are no polar bears in Africa. I go, why not? Organisms are lockstep with the environment. And all of a sudden it says, then why are we here? It wasn't an accident. We were conforming to an environment. And the significance about that is every organism that evolved on this planet was designed to bring harmony and balance. And before humans were here, we would say, oh, there was a garden. The garden was here. I go, what was that? Oh, the whole web of life was a garden. I go, you know what's interesting? There's a garden is not a battleground. A garden, by its definition, is the height of cooperation. A garden is the cooperation of everything in the garden. Well, it turns out, we are the only ones not cooperating in the garden. And nature is a little upset with this. Why? Because we're undermining the entire web of life. We're polluting the air, the water, the ground. We're removing all the resources from the planet. And just the way we live in agriculture, destroying the harmony of the environment, we're not sustainable. NASA scientists have come to the realization that within 20 years, folks, listen, within 20 years, there will be an irreversible collapse of the current civilization. I want to emphasize irreversible because some people think, oh, we're going to go back to the old days. I go, no, the old days were leading up to the problem that we have. We're not going back. We're going to a future. So I say, what's the future? I say, well, the first thing is this. We must learn something. We have to live in harmony. Not with just the garden. We have to live in harmony with each other. And the point about that is it's not a competition for survival, it's a cooperation for survival.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And what we now have to start recognizing is each of us is a cell in a bigger organism called humanity. And the whole idea about this is that right now, the body of humanity, us, cells, okay, we're in a survival of the fittest world. We're in a non-sustainable world. And that humanity as an organism is flailing. It doesn't work until all humans recognize we're all part of the same organism. So it's sort of like autoimmune disease. And I say, what's that? When the 50 trillion cells that make up your body start fighting with each other, it leads to a destruction of the body. Autoimmune disease, which is the biggest issue on the planet. So many people think, oh, disease is due to genetics and bad genes. I go, less than 1% of disease is connected to genetics. Then where the heck is the health crisis coming from? One source. You ready? Stress. Mm-hmm. Stress is responsible for over 90% of the illness on this planet. Stress is the consequence of the world that we're living in today. We're not living in harmony, so we're living in a stress situation. Who's going to make it? Who's not going to make it? The U.S. is the empire that's falling. Empires come, empires go. The U.S. is in a dreadful falling right now. It's not sustainable itself. And the healthcare crisis is crazy. Why? A large portion of the population can't even afford to go to emergency room for a treatment. In other words, more than half of the population cannot get a hold of $400 at this moment. If we said, can you get $400? Half of the population will say no. I go, and then what? Most of them are living week to week, meaning whatever small paycheck they have, the cost of living exceeds the paycheck. And there's the stress of doing this. Ah, the stress, that's the word. I go, yes, the stress of surviving is causing a destruction of the human biology. The stress that we're facing right now is a stress for survival. Our lives are threatened, whether it's the whole population is being threatened or whether you're the individual just trying to make it through the week so you can get enough money for next week. Stress. I go, yeah, but how does that affect us? Let me explain. That there's a stress protection system. It's called the adrenal system, the adrenal glands, stress hormones. That's where it comes from. I say, what's the function of the stress hormones? Get us ready for fight or flight. Now, in the old days, all you had to worry about was the saber-toothed tiger, okay? And I say, well, what if you were out there eating some berries off the bush in the old days and a saber-toothed tiger shows up? I say, what do you think your response is? A stress response to do what? Survive. How do you do that? You run or fight. Fight or flight. That was what the adrenal system is called in school. Fight or flight. I go, so what is that? Why is that important? Now, here's the mechanics. There's a mechanism, and it goes like this. To run away from an animal, which part of your body do you need to have energy? Not the gut. That's maintenance and, you know, digestion and filtering and cleaning. No, you want your arms and legs. Why? Those are the ones that are going to get you to run. So I need to get the energy there. I said, well, where's the energy? I said, it's in the blood. I go, oh. So I said, well, what happens if the tiger is coming? Well, most of the blood right now, if you're just, you know, watching this video, most all your blood is in your gut. But that's important. That's for growth. That maintains the body, filters, cleans, repairs the body. That's what the function of the gut organs are. But if the tiger is chasing you, I don't need the gut organs to use all the energy for fixing me. I need to run. So here's step, there are three things. So let's do number one. When stress hormones are released into the body, they prepare you for fight or flight. And I say, how? They cause the blood vessels in the gut to squeeze shut. I go, what happens? Well, then it pushes the blood to the arms and legs because that's what you need, the blood to run. So I say, yeah, when you're afraid, guess what? You can feel it. And what do you mean? I go, you know, the butterflies in the stomach, the queasiness when fear gets in there. The queasiness is what? Blood vessels squeezing shut, the fluttering, squeezing shut. Getting ready for what? Put that blood in the arms and legs because we're going to start running. So here's number one rule. When you're in stress, you stop the growth of the body and the maintenance, growth and maintenance stop. You put the energy into running away, arms and legs. Okay, so that's protection. So growth, nope, blood vessels shut down, energy now, arms and legs, fight or flight, protection. So we compromise growth. Number two, and this is a very important one for understanding today's crisis in health. And I say, what is it? The immune system is also a protection system, but the immune system protects my inside. The adrenal system protects me from the outside. So I say, well, think about this. If you've ever really been sick, you didn't have the energy to get out of bed. I go, why? Because the immune system, when it's operating, uses a lot of energy. And if you're sick, it uses so much energy that you don't have energy to do much else but lay in the bed. So I go, well, wait a minute. Let's put the scenario together. You have a bacterial infection, could lead to some bad diarrhea, and you're being chased by a saber-toothed tiger. How do you want to split the energy? How much energy you want to put to kill those damn bacteria? And how much energy you want to run away from the tiger? Well, think about it for a second. The answer is this. The hell with the bacteria. If the tiger catches you, you don't got a problem with bacteria. The tiger might have a problem with bacteria, but you don't. So the point is simple. If the threat is from the outside, stress hormones shut off the immune system to conserve energy. It's so effective that when doctors want to transplant an organ from person A to person B, and they don't want the recipient's immune system to reject the foreign organ, they give the recipient stress hormones before the operation. Because when they give them that, the immune system is not going to reject the foreign tissue right away. Okay? So stress hormones shut off the immune system. Okay? And then the one that is critical in a sense of sociological, cultural understanding is when you're in a state of fight or flight, conscious thinking is very slow. It's a slow process. You can't afford to have slow process when you're running. So guess what? The stress hormones also squeeze the blood vessels in the forebrain shut. Why? Well, that was energizing your consciousness. I go, yeah, but it's squeezed shut. And I go, why? Because it pushes the blood to the hindbrain. Reaction, reflex, no thinking. Boom, rapid response. So I go, wow, okay, you stop growth, you get into protection. You shut off the immune system, and you shut off your intelligence. I go, these are the consequences of stress. Now I go, well, why would nature make something that was so damaging? I go, no, nature only designed the system to run away from the tiger. I go, why was that relevant? Well, stress was 10 minutes if you made it. If you got away from the tiger, 10 minutes later, no more stress. Come back to growth again. So stress was just used for short little intervals when necessary. Today, stress is 24/7, 365. You live with stress every day. You don't know if you're going to have money, if you're going to have health, if you're going to have food, if you can support where you live. Every stress is coming in right now, like survival stress. So I said, so what? We were never designed to be in chronic stress. that is antagonistic to the physiology, because stress shuts down growth and maintenance of the body. Stress shuts down the immune system. Well, where do you think the health crisis came from? Those two things. And I go, so what does it mean to live free? I say, can you get out of the stress? Can I? Well, yes, you can, because you're being programmed to be stressed. Watch the news. Tell me about all the good stories of the wonderful things that are happening on this planet. And if they do, it's the last minute of the news. And the rest of it was all the war, the violence, the poverty, this, you know, this crisis, this, that, that. And you sit there and you watch that, or you read about it. Does that make you go, yes, I'd love to be alive? No, that gets you into, oh my God, the world is stressful. I go, yeah, it is. But you paid attention to it. And I go, I learned something, and it just came back to me after years of basically, what was the point? It was called the serenity prayer. I go, what's that? I said, well, change the things you can change, and don't put your effort into things you can't change. What's the point? If you can change something, then you have an influence and some power in doing it. But if you can't change something and you put your energy into it, you're throwing it away. And I go, well, why is that important? Okay, overriding thing. Jason and Taya know this. It's the whole programs have been on this. And the basic thing is knowledge is power. If you don't have knowledge, you're disempowered. And when you have a lack of knowledge or a misunderstanding of knowledge, you become disempowered. Well, let's start with something that people have been disempowered with for the last 100 years. And I go, what is it? Oh, genes control my life. I said, genes, what are they? Oh, they're in the cell. They control the characteristics of biology. I go, they control? What does that mean? Well, yes, genes turn on and off. I go, okay, clear the deck. False, 100% false. No, genes do not turn on and off. Genes are blueprints to make the proteins, which are the building blocks of the body. It's the instructions to make a body. It's not instructions on how to use the body. It's instructions to make the body. I go, so why is that important? Genes are blueprints. I always give the same story. I say, go into an architect's office and she's working on a blueprint. You ask her, hey, is your blueprint on or off? And she was looking, what are you, crazy? It's a blueprint. There's no on and off. Aha! That's the point. It's the architect that controls the blueprint. I go, oh. Well, my genes are blueprints. Who's the architect? You ready for this? The mind. The mind controls the expression of the genes. Change your mind, and you can change genetic activity. If your mind is not living in harmony, then your body is in disharmony. Disharmony is disease. Health is harmony. But we're living in disharmony. I go, yeah, but that's why we have a healthcare crisis. Why? Because we're genetically faulty? Hell no. You control these genes. Oh no, I thought the genes turned on. No. Simple picture. What is controlling the expression of the genes? Just simple. You ready? Whatever picture you have in your mind about life, that picture is translated into neurochemicals that control the biology of the genes. The thoughts are translated into chemistry, which through a new process called epigenetics, not a new process in the world, new process for our understanding, epigenetics, the chemistry of the picture is controlling the genetic activity to match the picture. If you have a picture of disease, then the chemistry that comes out of the brain is an image of disease, which will then adjust the body to what? Make the disease. I'll give a simple example because ready for this. This is a good one, right? There's not one gene that causes cancer. There's no such thing as a gene. You have this gene, you get cancer. I go, well, wait, we talk about cancer genes. I go, they're associated with the cancer, but they do not cause the cancer. So in other words, 50% of the women with the breast cancer gene get breast cancer. Yeah, but what about the 50% of the women with the breast cancer gene that don't get the breast cancer? We don't talk about them. I go, well, it's time you do. I say, why are they immune to the influence of the cancer gene? And the answer is, because the gene didn't make cancer. It's stress that makes cancer. 90% of cancer has no genetic linkage, meaning it shows up in people where there's no cancer in a family in the first place. I said, where the hell did the cancer gene come from? No, there is no cancer gene. It's disharmony. And disharmony means you are altering the natural behavior of the biology and taking it out of harmony, which is health. And it leads to disease. So basically, 90% of illness on this planet has nothing to do with genetics. Less than 1% of disease, less than 1% of disease is connected to genetics and heredity. So where's the disease coming from? Programming. Programming? Yeah. I go, what do you mean? Well, genes are programmed, yeah. But who's the programmer? Oh. Whatever picture I hold in my mind, the chemistry that's released is complementary to the picture. So in other words, I have a picture of love. I go, so what kind of chemistry comes out? Oh, come on, you know. Dopamine, pleasure. Yeah, that's why you fall in love. Pleasure. Oxytocin. Yeah, that comes from love because that bonds you to your lover. What else? Vasopressin, a hormone, makes you more attractive so that your lover stays there longer. And growth hormone. What do you think that does? Well, growth. So basically it says, when you're in love, you get pleasure, you're bonding, you feel better, you're healthier, your biology is in a state of growth. And that's why when people are in love, they glow. Oh, see how healthy they are when they are in love. Health is not an accident. Health is a consequence of the chemistry of love. I say, yeah, but what if you're living in fear? I go, oh, fear picture. That none of the love chemistry, no love chemistry, fear picture, stress hormones, and factors that influence the immune system to put us in a state of protection. So I say, oh, so the chemistry of fear shuts down the growth, gets us into stress, get ready for fight or flight. I go, it's a different chemistry than love. So I say, so what's the difference? I say, what is the thought process? What are you thinking? And all of a sudden you start to realize you've been programmed to live in fear. I say, why? Because when you live in fear, you have no power. When you live in fear, your consciousness is shut down and all you want is a reflex. Somebody kill that scary thing. I go, oh, who's that somebody? Whoever you give power to. When you are afraid, that means you feel powerless. And when you feel powerless, then you will engage someone you believe carries the power and support them because you're afraid. Let them hit the bad guy. And the point about all that is I say, so where are we in the situation? We're in a situation that the planet is undergoing an evolution. Why? Because we're simply not sustainable. There's no extra 0.6 to provide the resources, which means you can't keep living the way we are living on this planet. We're destroying the garden under our feet. And all of a sudden, I say, yeah, but if there's disharmony, then there's disease. And I go, yeah, well, that's why we have a healthcare crisis, okay? And I go, and the answers to the questions are no longer the same. Survival of the fittest competition? Hell no. It's survival of the most cooperative. It's those that learn to live in harmony, that live in harmony with the others and with nature. That's where health is to be found. Are you living in harmony? Probably not. You're living in some world-generated fear, which takes away your power. You know what's interesting? COVID, and I want to say it because that's who I am. I just say it. No one understood the significance of the COVID situation. Number one is this. Everyone was afraid that we're going to die of COVID. I say, who died of COVID? You ready? People who were already compromised in their health. healthy people, when they started doing testing, the number of healthy people that had COVID didn't even know they had COVID, because when they were healthy, the immune system handled it. But the people who were sick with COVID, by definition, were already compromised. 70% were super obese. Another 70% were diabetic type 2. Another large percentage already had heart disease. And there was a number of level of stress people. I say, those are the people that got sick. So let's stand back and say, what about the COVID? And I say, the COVID is like the wolf. I go, why? We always think the wolf just attacks anything. I go, no, wolves never just attack anything. There's a herd. The wolf looks for the weakest element, because why? It wants to eat. It doesn't want to have a race with the strongest one. It wants to win food. Who do you get? The weakest one. So guess what? Wolves call the herd of the weakest individual, so the herd stays strong. Well, COVID was a wolf. It didn't affect the people who were healthy. It affected the people who were already sick. Instead of saying, hey, get the vaccine, why didn't they say, why don't you get healthy? Why don't you take care of your health? Why don't you exercise? Why don't you stop eating the garbage that you're eating that they're selling you? Because you're under control and you don't know that, but they scare you. And the moment you're in fear, the stress hormones put you in a state of fight or flight, and that shut down the rest of the system. And a little sidebar. No, the virus was not lethal. The virus was definitely affecting compromised people, okay? So let's get the idea out that the virus kills everybody. No, it only affects those that were already weak, okay? But then I said, there was something you didn't even know what was going on. I go, what was it? We, Jason, Taya, myself, you, we only have power in a community. I go, so what? You didn't pay any attention. In the COVID crisis, there was no more community. The entire world, no community. Well, except for Sweden, who didn't give a damn about the story. But the rest of them did what? Put your mask on, separate, don't talk to each other, keep away from each other. I guess what? It was a complete world where people had no power.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It was the power of a handful of people who I trust not that ran this show. And they scared you. They made you powerless. And you gave up your power. I'll put the mask on. No, I know my mother's dying in the nursing home, but I can't see her. I go, what the hell? You didn't see it, did you? You had no power as a human population. You gave it up. Fear. And the idea is why? Because the leadership of this world knows it's collapsing. They know civilization is failing. They know the economy is dead, that the money is useless. Why? It changes value every day. Then how can that be stable? I say it's not stable. Today the value is this, tomorrow the value is that. Then where's the stability? You know what? Nature has an economy. It has what is called the coin of the realm. Oh, you mean there's a molecule like money? Yeah, it's called ATP. It's an energy molecule. Money is energy. ATP is energy. I go, so what's so significant about this? And the answer is, in the body, energy is distributed in a completely different way than the money is distributed in this world. And yet the energy in the body is the same as the money in this world. And I go, so significance is this. Let's go back a billion years. And let's say there's a step in digestion, which is a process that requires energy. And I say, okay, how much did it cost energy, ATP, to do this step? I say, 50 ATP molecules. Cool. Well, that was a billion years ago. Today, how much ATP does it take to cause that same response? The answer is, 50 ATP molecules. Well, what's the point? The value of energy never changed. It's the same energy unit, a billion years. The value of your paper money is changing. Go look at the stock market today. Go check it out. It's going to be different than it was yesterday. The point is this, be prepared. Look at what I mean. We're facing an evolutionary upheaval. Why? We're not sustainable. To sustain ourselves, we have to let go of the way we have been living on this planet and to learn to live in harmony with nature and ourselves. And Dr. Jason and Taya have been trying to give you this message for a long time, but now we're facing it. And NASA scientists say within 20 years, that irreversible collapse is going to happen. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? For what? The thing falling apart. I go, no, well, then you should. Why? Because it's falling apart. It's happening right now in front of your face. It's chaos all over the world. And everyone's looking at economic, social chaos, political chaos, racial, religious, gender chaos. I go, you're missing the point. Those are the consequences of the bigger chaos. And I say, what's that? We're not sustainable. Human civilization is destroying itself by destroying the environment because we have some belief that we have dominion over this world. Well, how's that working out? We're destroying it with our dominion because we don't know who we are. And the new biology says we are nature. Why? We came from nature. We were made in the image of nature. And that if we destroy nature, we destroy ourselves. And the idea is, oh, well, let's get a rocket ship and take people to the other place. I said, that's not going to happen. Let's be realistic, folks. And you say, well, the Earth is dying. I say, the Earth is not dying. We're dying. The Earth is going to be here. And every place where humans are not allowed, the Earth has recovered. You know, Chernobyl, has a zone of exclusion, meaning what? In the area around Chernobyl, there was so much radioactivity that they said people can't live there. It's too radioactive, so no people can go. Today, guess what? The place is returned to a forest. Buildings that were in the city have trees growing out the windows, on the roof, all over the place. The whole thing is a forest. And guess what? There's more wildlife in Chernobyl than anywhere else in the former Soviet Union. Why? People can't go there. There are places like in New Zealand where the sea was being overfished, and they said, nope, no fishing in this area. And they carved out a large area, and they say, no fishing in this area. Go in that area, guess what? The fish have returned to the way they used to be. But not just outside the area, the fish are gone because they took them all. The point is, when do we learn to live in harmony? And I'm so honored to be here because Jason and Tay have dedicated their lives to help you get various insights of how you can apply knowledge. Knowledge is power. Ooh, let me just say the same thing differently. You ready? A lack of knowledge is a lack of power. What you don't know will kill you. And this is why it's a wake-up call. And I'm honored to be here with this wonderful couple because they're allowing me to tell you, hey, wake up! Wake up! We're going to extinct! Yes, if we do not change, human civilization is on a downhill run. Kiss it goodbye. And the idea is the Earth is still going to be here. And it's going to grow back. And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a garden. Oh, yeah, that's what we came into. That's the thing we destroyed. Yeah, but we won't be here. So what can we do about it? And the answer is this. Free yourself from the story. Get out of the lack story. Get out of the competition story. Start to build a life based on cooperation. Start to recognize that it's love is what holds everything together, including all the cells in your 50 trillion cell body, that we have to learn to come back to an ancient understanding. Who are we? We are the garden. And nature now perceives us as we're the virus in the garden. Nature is saying, hey, let's get rid of the virus and put the garden back. Well, it's in process. And yet the other idea is this. What if you return to recognizing what the Native Americans and the North American Indians, First Nation people and the indigenous people, they said it was a garden. And what was their job? Gardeners. They were gardeners and they lived in harmony with nature. They were the most welcome people by Mother Nature because they understood the power of the garden and they honored it. And they lived that way until the Europeans came and then decimated the garden. Hey, buffalo skins are good. Let's kill all the buffalo. And they did. And they left all the bodies and they took the skin off. And there were bodies of thousands of buffaloes. And the Native Americans look at them and go, who are these people? What are they doing? And they, oh, the redwood trees in California. 3,000 years old. Hey, let's cut those suckers down. They decimated the redwood forest. The beaver in Canada. Oh, we make beaver hats. What are you going to do? You got to kill all the beaver and say, where's the harmony?
Mm-hmm. Bruce, so much to unpack on all of that. I think that was, and I completely agree with you mm-hmm. on all of that. A question I can hear people coming up with, and because I've heard this, and I mean, I know lots of people that want to live that way, and in many ways do live that way as much as they can. They really do appreciate nature. They want to tend the garden. The question that I find comes up a lot of time, and this ties back with this place of power, that people say, well, what is little old me going to do? Because like you had mentioned, you know, there is a very powerful group that likes to run things the way that it runs, and then there's consequences in a lot of ways. I mean, what we're experiencing right now is even more and more outward consequences, trying to keep people really in a specific way of living. And personally, what I feel like it's causing is it's causing so much friction for people that they're eventually just either going to like, I can't do that anymore. Or, and this probably ties back with almost like you adapt, or you're going to not adapt and you're going to fall away. I feel like this is kind of where we're at right at the moment, right? Because there is a lot of very real external pressure pushing people into a specific way. So I know people will say, well, what is little old me going to do when there's all of this stuff pushing? So what would you say to those people?
Buckminster Fuller, futurist, came up with the answer. He says, you don't go into the system and change it. You step outside and build a new system. And the idea is, why? Energy is life. Then I say, look at the energy of the system and look at your energy. And you're going to say, I'm going to push my energy and change that big energy. I say, you're going to lose all your energy. You can't fight the system. It's bigger than you are. So the idea is, well, then how can I use my energy more constructively? I say, start to recognize what is the nature of life, community, whether it's a community of humans with each other or a human in the community of nature, it's all based on community. If you're not supporting the community, then you're not really living in harmony with what's going on here. It's a garden. Everybody plays a role in this garden. And the significance is really profound because it says, are you using your energy to save your life, or are you just trying to wall off the outside? I go, walling off the outside is, well, it's necessary at some point, but the only way you can do it better is step outside of it and come over here. Understand, making community is your lifeline in this world. If you're not in a community, then the most important effort is find one. Get into it. Participate with each other. When I was younger, and before you guys were born, we had our issue, and it was like, before you go out and save the world, take care of your own backyard. Well, this is the point. I don't have enough energy to save the world, but I do have enough energy to take care of myself in my backyard, make sure my backyard is in harmony with everything around me, with the other people and the garden, and I focus on my backyard. I don't want you to focus on changing the big one, because your energy will be consumed at that point. And when it's consumed, energy is life. No energy, no life is basically what the whole idea is all about. So basically, what we really want to come into is to come back into harmony. I say, well, how do you do that? Well, say, well, first of all, there's two populations you have to deal with. I go, which ones? I go, 50 trillion cells in your body. They're a community. The cells work together to give you health. I said, well, what controls them? I said, not the genes. It's the mind. The mind is a government. And the cells respond to the action of the mind, because the mind government is turned into chemistry, which then adjusts the community. And all of a sudden I say, are you living in health? The answer is no, most people are not even near living in health.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.